This is Words Matter with Norm Ornstein.
We've got the votes and screw the rest of you.
And Dr. Kavita Patel.
These might be some of the smaller moments, you know, with all the bombshells. Didn't catch people's eyes.
Hello and welcome to Words Matter from the DSR Network. Each week, Norm Ornstein and I will talk about the issues facing our country. As Norm, we're headed not just into a very tenuous, precarious cycle of elections and the implications for not just our country, but for the globe, but we're going to spend some time today talking about something that I can, it's very rare, Norm, that you and I can say that there's a topic that every single human on this earth is affected by. And it wouldn't be Words Matter if we didn't pay tribute and honor and also reflections on the four-year anniversary of March 13th of 2020 and the declaration by the World Health Organization of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, otherwise known as the COVID-19 virus, as a national emergency and a pandemic. And I think that it's very fitting because you and I have come into these pods during COVID and also hopefully emerging from COVID if and when we ever do. I still say that we're 4 years into it and it's still killing people and it's still causing an incredible amount of misinformation. But Norm, thought that we would take time to just reflect and just talk about this. And then for our members, we're going to have some special time for our members only section around the dysfunction of the House. That might not sound new, but it has gotten even worse, Norm, if that's true. But Norm, first off, tell me your thoughts on these 4 years and what this has meant to you.
So Kavita, I went back in my time machine on March the 8th, 2020. I was on a JetBlue flight to Miami because on the 9th, we were premiering our movie, Definition of Insanity, at the Miami Film Festival. And on that flight, I ended up sitting next to a woman who had a mask on, but who coughed continuously throughout the flight. I look back on that and just bless the Lord that it didn't result in me being one of the early cases with COVID. We did a showing down at Miami, and then it was oversubscribed. They did a second one, and as soon as the second screening ended, they came into the theater and said, "We're shutting down the festival halfway through because of this emergency." And that was that. We came back and then endured really the next year and a half in particular. What I find so remarkable about this is, first, that Trump, as president, as he told Bob Woodward, knew that this was an airborne virus that could spread and be extremely deadly, and yet went ahead and lied to the American people, and basically, by ultimately cutting back on all of the public health measures that would have mattered, by sending a signal, despite doing Operation Warp Speed, and give him the credit that he's due for speeding up vaccines that have proven to be remarkably effective, shunned them, didn't do anything with them. And even now we have multitudes of vaccine deniers like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and others. And I will get feedback on social media saying, "You said that it would eradicate COVID and it didn't. And the people still get it with when they've taken the vaccine." And of course, that's a lie. And it's a lie that Trump helped perpetrate. And the fact is that we've had a million deaths, 400,000 at least, and more, I would say, given what's happened since with the vaccine deniers and the failure to use masks, many hundreds of thousands more that are a direct result of malfeasance on the part of Donald Trump and the people around him. And yet, Joe Biden is probably going to suffer from the fact that our society was disrupted and turned upside down. And despite the fact that he and his public health measures have helped to keep this from getting even worse, and Trump will skate along as he has for so long, despite this criminal malfeasance.
Yeah, well, so we'll get into the criminal malfeasance. I think there's a lot of things Trump is unfortunately, I worry, escaping criminal malfeasance for, and COVID is just simply one of many. And what I'll say is that let me put it for listeners into context, and maybe because it's actually sometimes pretty hard for me to talk about COVID or reflecting without, you know, kind of getting a little emotional, to be honest, because so much of my memories are wrapped in early days of like thinking I had one physician colleague who did die, which is terrible, thinking that now with what we know, he probably wouldn't have died. Obviously with vaccines, he would not have died. And so not just colleagues, but patients, and sadly getting used to kind of the news every single day that like somebody that one of us knew is a patient of mine or someone of one of my close colleagues died, or unexpected deaths in young people. And so, but I thought that it would help to put some numbers to it. 30 million across the globe that we've counted have lost lives from COVID to date. And in a study that was done and published in The Lancet, the COVID has taken its toll in reducing life expectancy in over 200 countries. And that the pandemic is responsible for the most severe drops in life expectancy seen in 50 years, meaning we have made progress in medical disease and cancers and things like that, where we had improved life expectancy and we actually saw a decline for the first time. And then what I'd like to do is also just give some homage to, I would say, probably tens of millions, maybe more, Norm, we don't know, who are dealing with disability from long COVID. And so I think that as much as I would love to say, like, and I'm careful with our words, we're called Words Matter for a reason, like COVID isn't behind us. Like what may be behind us is our, you know, days of an administration kind of, you know, literally abusing like the public health system and spreading misinformation, being responsible for that. But this virus is not behind us. And I think certainly what I would argue is that because of our desire as a country, maybe as a world, to just say like everything's in the past, you know, hey, good, you know, good job, that we're not really taking honor of the fact that we're seeing so many, like I said, I don't even know, tens of millions of people with kind of the effects. And then not to mention, I would even quantify this as billions of people who have been touched in some way with having a death. Or, you know, I think President Biden said it best, and I forget which speech it was, Norm. I think it was the inaugural. I can't remember. It was one of his early speeches. It could have been on the time when him and Vice President Harris-elect at the time before the inauguration did the like memorial with the 100,000, honoring the 100,000 that had died, which, you know, can you imagine that that's what we thought would be the worst? And when they did that, I remember Biden saying something to the effect of like, you know, there's one less person at like the holiday table, you know, and most families. And so I think that's an accurate way of kind of thinking about how it's affected people. So I just hope listeners, like, I it's hard for you and I to ever say this has affected 100% of the world, but it has. And I think this is like a pretty important time to both reflect, but then I hope there's a little bit of like a reminder that it didn't have to be this way, and leadership matters. And I know that for myself, it's no secret that you and I definitely wanted Joe Biden to win that 2020 election. But I mean, I literally thought that like billions of lives could have been on the line, and they were. And so it was a very, for me, you know, personally and professionally, there could be no more important statement about like votes matter than that particular election. And I can't help but think that we're somewhat in the same position now.
I agree. And I mean, I would add one other little twist to this. Certainly we have huge numbers with long COVID, and we don't have any idea what it'll mean 10 or 20 years down the road, but I know people who are continuing to struggle years after having their COVID bout. But what we also know is that mental health crises that we have in America are being exacerbated dramatically in the aftermath of COVID. And it's kids who missed out on development, social and otherwise, when they weren't in school. It's we know what happens with pandemics of this sort. There's a surge in serious brain diseases like schizophrenia because of all the stress that's added on for people who might be vulnerable otherwise. And those are going to reverberate for a very long time to come. And we do not have the personnel or the treatments available to deal with all of that. The reverberations are enormous, and we can't ignore either the reality that by sowing the playing field with these lies and doubts about masks and vaccines, that when we have the next deadly virus that comes along, the next pandemic, all of the public health measures that one would want to take are not going to be available. They're simply not going to work. And it's another, the reality is that when you poison the system, as Trump and his cronies have done, and as the pernicious Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is continuing to do, that we're going to end up with repercussions for a very, very long time. They have basically destroyed the ability to work our way through future issues and created opportunities for more deaths.
If you're tired of hearing ads, you can support the show by becoming a member. This week, listeners of the DSR Network shows can receive 25% off the membership price. In addition to an ad-free listening experience, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our shows via our private member feed, enhanced show notes for selected podcasts, an invitation to join the DSR Slack community, and early access to select podcasts. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and enter code DSRNetwork, one word, to receive 25% off. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code DSRNetwork. This offer is limited and will expire on Saturday, March 16th, so act now, and thank you very much for your support.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just opportunities for more deaths, but it's also undermining the very infrastructure with which people are trying to. I mean, the CDC. We can probably spend hours just discussing like things that people could have done better all around, no matter what the party affiliation. In fact, I would say that most of the employees at the CDC have no part, they're career scientists, career public health officials. There were a lot of things we could have done better. And I do think that there's an ownership in that. But one thing I think that's been destructive has been this constant undermining of science, period. I think everything you just said is kind of echoed by the fact that, I mean, literally, Norm, I could sit here and talk about, you know, 30 randomized controlled studies, literally billions of patients dosed with vaccines, literally, not just the trial patients, but now we've got literally what we call, you know, billions of patients with real world evidence. Couldn't think of possibly better evidence. And what do? At the same time, we're like, well, that doesn't, you know, vaccines cause disease. That's the rumors and the most popular podcasts. You know, I wish people would say like, it's our podcast. And unfortunately, some of the most kind of downloaded and popular podcasts have been the ones that spread this very misinformation. So it's hard to be a scientist working in these fields and not feel like you're just getting the wind knocked out of you at each kind of turn of the corner. So maybe we can, let's try to shift gears, because with COVID came some positives. And I mean that in a serious way, that it's hard to think about things that we've done or things that we've learned. And so maybe we can reflect on things that are positive. I'll say a couple of things. One is kind of reigniting my relationships with people, including you. I think that this is an important point to reflect on, that COVID has made me in particular kind of want to make intentional time for, I would just say, people I really like and respect. And that's not necessarily something I gave as much time for, Norm. And so I took it for granted, and I always thought, okay, there's the other day. Maybe not one day I'll do that. Maybe next time I'll do that. And there's no reason for next time, because today is today and that's all we have. That's one. And then two, on like a macro level, you know, we can do hard things in healthcare. And so I have faith that we can kind of take a broken system and do better overnight. Overnight, I kid you not, we turn, you know, my brick and mortar clinic into an entirely virtual clinic. And we did it. And we did it across the country. So if I had to say like something good came out of it, it's that we can and we must do better for patients. We can't rest on our laurels of just clicking on telehealth and saying everything will be fine. But I do think that that was an incredible positive. How about for you, Norm? Any things you feel like you would want to reflect on that are things you would not want to sacrifice, that you want to keep from COVID?
Well, I think, you know, exactly what you said in terms of relationships. I have to say, Kavita, that, you know, people like us are fortunate in the sense that we could survive and even thrive through a pandemic of this sort with the resources where, you know, I could be at home, I could do whatever I needed to do virtually, I could order groceries. A lot of others were not as fortunate, but it certainly had an impact on how you look at the world, at your own vulnerability, at the power and importance of relationships. And I don't, you know, I mentioned this in passing a few minutes ago, but it's not just that Operation Warp Speed enabled us to get what are pretty damn effective vaccines and other medications on an incredibly sped up timetable, but it also helped to create an infrastructure where we can move much more nimbly when the next variant comes along or when something new comes along. And it's a great irony that the person who did this has trashed it and delegitimized it, and as have his cronies. But we're better prepared in some ways, and we won't be caught flat-footed when we get the next one coming around.
Well, let's talk about some of the cronies, and maybe we can touch on kind of the latest and greatest with some of our very good friends, like Robert Kennedy Jr. and what he's been doing this week. That has not only he's by the way been one of the most destructive people, not just on vaccines, but on that kind of point on science and misinformation spreading, and sadly using, I think, the Kennedy name and his very unfortunate similarities in appearance to very prominent relatives of his, that he's been using that as like a platform, and his Hollywood connections through his wife, as well as just his kind of natural social network. But Norm, tell us about RFK Jr.'s antics related to his choice for vice president, as well as Donald Trump and his posting on Truth Social, which I'm sure you and I are waiting with bated breath to see what he's posting there. But talk with our listeners about what unfolded this week around the vaccines and other events.
You know, I remember just going back a ways, Trump at a rally with all of his faithful around him, when he began to tout Operation Warp Speed and the vaccines, and said, you know, pretty good vaccines, and got booed, which never happens at his rallies. He was taken aback and, of course, would not address it again. But then this past week, in an effort to tweak Joe Biden, touted Operation Warp Speed and all of the great work that they did with vaccines, and once again got enormous pushback from his faithful. The one area, usually Trump says, black is white, and his cult followers say, yes, black is white. Then he says, white is black, and they come back and say that. But he managed to inculcate people with this idea that the vaccines are not just worthless, but deadly, that even he can't escape that. Then you have vaccine denier Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who at times in the past has said, I'm not anti-vaccine. And then his own words and his own efforts have been brought up to him. The organization that he created, a sort of ersatz scientific organization that does a bunch of gobbledygook to cast doubt on vaccines, said the polio vaccine doesn't work because it's not effective. And, you know, there was a story this week about a man in his 80s with a life of great accomplishments who had gotten polio as a young child before the polio vaccine that Jonas Salk developed had become available, and was in an iron lung for over 75 years, just died. And I was saying before we began that I have a few vivid memories of my early childhood, but it's as if it happened yesterday. I remember standing in line in my third grade classroom while the nurse was administering the polio vaccine and being scared to death and hearing the screams of kids as they got their shot, and then going up there and the needle looked like it was the size of a baseball bat. But it eradicated polio. And then when Sabin came along with something even better, it was one of the great public health accomplishments of the 20th century. And now we're getting people undermining that. We're seeing polio come back in small ways, but it could get larger. And then we've got the measles outbreak in Florida with a surgeon general in Florida, a DeSantis crony, who is an absolute quack, basically casting doubt on all vaccines. We have Trump saying that he will make sure that they take away federal funds from schools that require vaccines for tetanus, for whooping cough, for all of the different childhood ailments and measles that we have managed to basically wipe off the face of our earth. And they will all come back because of Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, and all of the cronies that he has, who for their own political benefit continue to spread misinformation and disinformation. And then you have RFK Jr. Floating the name of Aaron Rodgers as a potential running mate of his, the Hall of Fame quarterback, who is a conspiracy theorist, who lied about vaccines and who has become a vaccine denier. And it just shows how our society has lost its standards and is deteriorating, that a buffoon like that could be on a national political ticket. It is just pretty unsettling.
It's not just unsettling, but it's also kind of, we'll talk about the dysfunction of the House in our members section next, but it's just a reminder of it didn't have to be this way, Norm. It just didn't. It didn't have to be this way. And by the way, some onus, there's a lot of blame, I guess, or maybe I'll put it in a more productive way. There's a lot of accountability to go around. And I think that you and I have called for on this very pod, as well as on our, what I'll call our parent pod, the Deep State Radio podcast, we have called for like a 9/11 type of commission on COVID with teeth. We've called for an incredible, there's no end to the desire for accountability. Yet, what do we have? What do we have, Norm? What we have is the House, and we'll wrap now and maybe shift to our members section on the House, but we've got the House hauling in everyone from Tony Fauci to, the deputy commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, taking them through over the coals, over, their handlings on COVID and gain of function theory and research. And wasn't this the federal government just concocting, coronavirus in their backyard for the benefit of Tony Fauci's publicity? Like the kind of cockamamie inane things that I wouldn't let my 7-year-old get away with, we're doing on, on national TV, which is another accountability. The media, I was frankly shocked and saddened that there was nothing kind of honoring the 4 years of this anniversary yesterday. And there was like a mention here and there, we're going to spend our entire time on this pod. We have talking about it, but Norm, you don't go through something this devastating. Look at how 9/11 has changed our lives. By the way, I'm not trying to make any approximation to the devastation that 9/11 inflicted, but look at the changes that we made in kind of the aftermath of 9/11 and how that's become kind of permanent. Yet everything you and I just spoke about that could actually have saved lives, masks, vaccines, simple education, that's gone by the wayside. Like all we have are remnants of signs that you can't get off of a floor or a wall telling people to keep 6 feet apart, right? I just want to kind of close. I want to thank you, Norm, for allowing this space to do this. But I think that we can't forget. I guess that's probably the best way to put it. Any closing thoughts, Norm? Anything we want to give listeners before we put it our member section?
Well, you know, you raised the 9/11 analogy, and you're right. It's not an analogy. And yet, you know, 3,000 plus people died horrifically, tragically. It's destroyed large numbers of lives of their families and loved ones who remain with enormous holes in their lives. We had 1 million people die of COVID. And you're exactly right. This should have been a day of enormous reflection by all of our media and others on the losses that we've faced in the society, not to mention all of those with long COVID, on why and how we failed people, on how we continue to fail them and what lessons we can learn. And there's nothing. It's really yet another tragedy piled upon a tragedy.
Well, we're going to try to keep making sure people don't forget. I know you and I certainly haven't, and that's part of our responsibility here. So we're going to do that, do it often on this pod, and we're going to keep people apprised of best science. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you to everyone for joining us. Please help us by rating, review, subscribing to this feed on your favorite podcast player, and share this episode with your friends on social media. If you like this and want to get more of our conversation, please become a member, and you can get a bonus segment where we're talking about the House and its dysfunction. Words Matter is a production of the DSR Network. The executive producer of the DSR Network is Chris Kotnor, and the producer of Words Matter is the incredible Riley Fessler. Our next episode of Words Matter will be in your podcast feeds on March 21st. Around then, see you then.